on Sunday mornings a series of messages called Moving Into Your Wealthy Place. How many believe that it is important to move into your wealthy place? And this is like message 15. Wow. And we're not done just yet. And we'll go until the Lord says that's enough, or, you know, till He changes gears on us. But I want to read out of Psalm 66, 12, out of the King James Version. If you don't have that version, look up on the screen. We encourage you to bring your Bibles to church so you can look at these things through your Bible. And the screen is really for different translations that we use to clarify or to bring out some points. But I encourage everybody to have their Bible. I encourage everybody to have their own Bible and bring their own Bible to church. The Bible is your manual, dads, married people. It is your manual for success in life. Come on. And so you need a Bible. Say, everybody needs a Bible. Amen. If you didn't bring one, you know, don't feel bad this morning. Just look on somebody else or look up on the screen. Okay, that's what we've got it there for. But it's not to take the place of your Bible. Psalm 66, 12 says, Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but Thou hast brought us into a wealthy place. And we have said many times now that the children of Israel had to go through the fire. They had to go through the waters because of their disobedience, because of their relationship as it got out of fellowship with God. How many know good things didn't happen? But praise God. God, here's the good news. Even in the old covenant, even under the old law, in the Old Testament, God still had mercy and He had compassion on the children of Israel. And if He brought them into their wealthy place, how much more will He bring you and I into our wealthy place under the new covenant? Now, they weren't perfect, but let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you are perfect? Didn't have anybody raise their hand. How many think it's important that we strive for perfection in our life? Okay, but we know we're not perfect, so we know that we have the Word and it is perfect, and we understand that God wants to move us in to our wealthy place. Now, we've said the wealthy place, and we're just quickly here going over some things, is the condition that you're in. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Wherever God puts you in that certain condition, it is a spot or is it a location. So it's important to move into our wealthy place, but it's also important to be in the right condition when you get in that spot. And so we've talked about that because you're not here by chance this morning. God hasn't brought you to the Rio Grande Valley by accident. You are where you are if you're following the plan of God, because that is where God is taking you into your wealthy place. And we've talked about staying connected to where God has placed you and put you. It can be your job. It can be your city. It can be the geographical location. It can be your church, your pastor, and all the things that we've talked about, because how many know the devil has a plan too? The devil's plan is to take you down, but God's plan is to take you up and into your wealthy place. Somebody ought to say amen. So we've been talking about why you are in your wealthy place. The New King James, and we gave all these different translations and define what wealthy place means, but essentially it's the rich fulfillment of your life, where your life is fulfilled in every area, where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. Somebody sent me another scripture, Psalms 37, 19, out of the New Living Translation. I thought I'd read that to you because, you know, from time to time, people bring out things that we're saying through other versions of the Bible. And here's what it says. It says, they will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. Did you see that? Can y'all see that in the back? Let's read it together. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they will have more than enough. That's not just talking about the pastor. That's talking about you too. Say, even in hard times, your God, my God, wants me to have more than enough. So those are the promises of God. Now, we've said and we've talked for the last few weeks, we took 2 weeks out of all these 15 to talk about God and our attitude towards our finances, and that finances are part of connecting us into our wealthy place. But we said that this is not a series, it's not a message about prosperity, even though God's will for you is to prosper even financially. God wants you blessed financially. Okay, so we took a couple of weeks and we talked about what our attitude should be towards money. Then last week, it may look like we were taking a little detour, but we weren't. We were talking about how that as believers, we should not have any fear. We should never have or allow fear to overtake and influence us, because fear takes us out or causes us to get out of that wealthy place that God has for our lives. And so today, we're going to go in another little area, I believe, that has a great importance of connecting you to your wealthy place. In fact, I want you to take your Bibles and go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and we'll get there, verse 28, I believe. But look up here when you find it, because I was thinking about some things here. I remember I saw those children. One of the things that had a great impact on me when we were, I believe it was either junior high or around the first year of high school, they showed us, they called us into an assembly, and they had two brains that were pickled in some fluid up on the platform, up on the stage. I don't know if any of you remember this. I think they made a commercial about this later too. And one was a normal brain, whatever that is, and the other brain was one that had used drugs and, had been on alcohol and so on and so forth. And I remember it was all yellow and mushy. Did anybody ever see those things in school or see the? They made a commercial not too long ago how that drugs would mess up your mind, put holes in your brain and make you mushy. And so I remember that was a great impact on my life, and it was all geared so that, you know, kids would not allow themselves to get into that kind of situation. But I want to just stand here before you and tell you that there's something even worse, okay, than your brain getting pickled by drugs or alcohol or those kind of things. And it is called wrong thinking. I'm glad y'all are excited this morning. You say, Pastor, wrong thinking is worse than using drugs or alcohol? Yes. Yes. Wrong thinking, wrong thoughts, getting under the control and the influence. Because if you think wrong, then you'll put wrong things in your body. So, listen, today what I want to talk to you about is your mind, because that will connect you to your wealthy place. If you don't learn to renew and allow the thoughts that you have to be God thoughts, scriptural thoughts, Bible thoughts, listen, your mind will begin to influence you and take you out of the will of God. And so I tell you that you will never live in your wealthy place until you bring your mind under the influence and the control of God's Word. Now, that's some heavy-duty stuff for you, but you're big enough you can receive it. You might want to write down the scripture. We've read it before. 3 John 1:2 says, Beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper in your soul. Say in your soul. Because, listen, without soul prosperity, then you will lack in your life. Part of soul prosperity, because if you came from a religion, and most of you did, or a lot of you did, came from a denominational background or religion, they don't teach you the things of man and how man really is when it relates to God. You know, for example, you probably heard it's about saving souls or saving your soul. Now, how many know when you get saved, it's not saving your soul? See, some of you don't know that. It's really saving your spirit. When you get born again, your spirit becomes saved. You are in the process. I am in the process, because it is a process that has to take place in order to save the soul. You say, what do you mean? I'm saying that when I got born again, my spirit was the one that got born again. Now I have to develop in my mind, because my mind didn't get saved when I got saved. If I don't develop my mind and renew my mind will stay the same as it was before I got born again. So we need to talk about these things. We need to see the importance. Now, how many of you think, and this is just a question to you as we study this morning, look at it. How many believe that it's okay to let your mind go unbridled and let it have its own time to think its own thoughts, that that's okay, that you can just think whatever you want to think, you know, like give your mind a timeout? How many of you think that that's okay? You know, because let me tell you something. We come from a world that believes, and I don't agree with, even when it comes to training children, that we need to give them time out. Because if we give them time out, it means their mind has opportunity to be unbridled. It gives them opportunity to think other thoughts contrary to the thoughts that they're supposed to have in order to live upright in the earth or right for God. The Bible teaches us that God our Father said that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and that if we spare the rod, we'll lose the child. Now, a lot of parents don't believe in that kind of discipline, but then they don't believe in the Word of God. And so what I'm talking to you about, people in the natural like to give their minds a time out. They like to give their minds a vacation. But listen to me. You need to understand that when you give your mind time out, you're giving your mind time to play with other thoughts. And those thoughts can come back and put you under the influence that will take you in a direction that God is not going. Okay? So, the Bible talks about all these things, but the point is a lot of people want to give their brains a time out. And an unbridled, an unchecked mind will cause you and get you into trouble. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. If you found it, say, I found it. All right. Now, look what it says. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, say, whole spirit, your soul and your body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, I thank God that the Apostle Paul was inspired to write this passage of Scripture, because he gave us a revelation right here that you won't get unless you allow the Holy Spirit to reveal these things to you. But what Paul just revealed to us is that man is a three-part being. That he is a spirit. Now listen to me. He is a spirit. He has a soul, and that lives in this body. Now, religion, they sometimes get the order out of order. Or the world gets it even worse, because they will talk about body and they will talk about mind and then spirit. Some religions will talk about the mind and then the body and then the spirit. But listen, the most important, Paul was bringing something out. He broke down the fact that you, the real you, is your spirit. The real you is not what you see in the mirror. Somebody missed a chance to say thank God. What you see up here is not me, okay? And that's what he was breaking down for us here, that the most important part of you is your spirit. When you get born again, it is your spirit that becomes a new creation, okay? And so we miss this part of understanding because we understand a little bit about the mind, because we hear a lot about the mind, and we know that even as we get older, we need to do things to the mind to keep it active. We need to exercise the mind. You need to, play tic-tac-toe or chess or crossword puzzle or something to keep the mind active, because if you don't keep the mind active, it's like a muscle. If you don't use it, you lose it. Okay? And then we understand that we must exercise and develop that mind through education, through knowledge, and so on and so forth. And most of us understand the body is the same way, that we are a product of what we eat. And in order to keep the body alive, how many know it takes food and it takes drink? If you want to die real quick, just stop eating and drinking and you will die. You survive by what you put in your body. Can somebody agree with that? Okay. But the point that I'm trying to make, and the part that we neglect most often, is the spirit man. And the revelation that the Apostle Paul gave us is that we have to develop the spirit man in us, because that is the most important part of us. Now let me say it again. We have to learn to develop the spirit man that is the real you, that is the real us, because that is the most important part, the most important part of the three. And we're going to see why. Let me make a couple of points here to you right quick. In John chapter 4, you just write it down. In John chapter 4, verse 24, it tells us that God is a spirit. How many of you have read that before? And so the real you is a spirit. So God is a spirit. God does not talk to us or relate to us through our bodies. He does not relate or communicate to us through our minds. Now, sometimes we will think, because of the sensation or the feelings that we get, either negative or positive, that God is dealing with us. But in effect, it's come through your spirit. And because it's come through your spirit, your mind has picked up on it. And then your body begins to follow through what the mind is telling it. Now stay with me here, because you need to understand it. But if you are to hear from God, it will be your spirit man that hears from God. It is the inward man that hears from God, not your mind, not your body. So that's the point that I want to make to you. Number one is that God speaks directly to our spirit. He speaks directly to your spirit, not your mind, and not your body. So we have to come back and we have to realize that, listen, if all you are doing is coming here on a Sunday morning and listening to the pastor's sermon, that is not enough to develop your spirit. If all I do was stood up here and preach to you on Sundays and Wednesdays, that would be not enough to develop my spirit. I must feed my spirit in order for my spirit to become mature and fully developed. Just like you must eat in the natural, or you will become weakened. You'll become frail, and you will become, you know, sickly, and so on and so forth. But we must be able to translate that over into our spirit man, because the spirit man is the most important part of us, and it is the spirit man, if not developed, will not be able to communicate with God in the realm and in the way that God intended for us to communicate with Him. And so we see that there is a three-part. And that's why I wanted to take a little time and talk to you about this, because if the spirit man is the most important part of us, and the spirit man is what really God deals with when He's dealing with us, then what about the soul? What about the body? See, you've got three components. Now, we've talked a little bit about the spirit. The soul is really broken down into three parts. Now, some of you may have heard these things, but I want to refresh your intake on these things, because the soul consists of your mind, which is your thought life, the intellect, and the emotions. And so it becomes very important that we learn how to save our soul. Really, that's what we're after now that we're born again. Are you with me? Okay? So make sure you understand. The component of your soul, first of all, is made up of your thought life. It's made up of what you think on. It's made up of your emotions. It's made up of the intellect. Now, how many... let me just kind of give you some illustration, because I don't want you to... You know, what's he talking about? Listen, how many of you have ever known somebody that at some point in their life have experienced some kind of roller coaster emotional time in their life. Now, let's just talk about fathers first. Let's talk about men. Because there is a point or there's a time in a man's life that he reaches a change of life. Now, we don't call it change of life in a man. We call it a midlife crisis. And, you know, when a man is going through a midlife crisis, a lot of things begin to go on in his thought life, in his emotional life. You know, when a man goes through midlife crisis, all of a sudden, you know, he wants to believe that he's young and that he wants to trade in his wife for a younger one. Now, that's what the world does. Okay, I'm not talking about Christians. Now, in a woman, we call it midlife crisis, or you call it menopause, or you call it change of life. Most women refer to it as a change of life. Anybody ever? Now, I'm not, you know, don't get guilty and don't get condemned. I'm just saying there's a different reaction. There's a different response. There's a different way that your mind deals with these things. And if they go unchecked, if they go unbridled, those things will put you under their control. Now, we're not talking about them not being real. They are real. And maybe some of you ladies, you know, you're younger. You say, well, I haven't faced midlife crisis. When does it happen? Well, I can't answer you when it happens. It usually happens sometime in late 40s or 50s. And, you know, it affects different people or different women different ways. Some of you ladies have had babies, and you can relate maybe to this, that when you've had a baby, that it does something physiologically, physically, and your emotions, you know, all of a sudden you cry at the drop of the hat. All of a sudden you're having hot flashes, you're hot, you're too cold. You yell at people, you yell at your husband. Come on, ladies. And so there's a lot of things that begin to go on, and if you don't know how to combat that and get that mind under the influence of the Word of God, then your mind and your body will begin to control you and influence you. Now, there's some things here that we can go into, but listen, if you don't realize that when you go through these things, that you can overcome them with the Word of God, because you renewed your mind to the Word, if you don't realize them, there will come a day that you will be sitting in a doctor's office wondering why you act and do what you do and the way you act, and you'll be asking and seeking for professional help. Amen. In fact, you may even think you've lost it. Come on now. Okay, so I'm just saying these things to you because there's some things that you have to realize. One is that when you're going through these things, that you're just going through them. It's a part of life, but yet it cannot be, or it should not be, a part of life that takes you out of being under the influence and the control of a right mind and a spirit that is mature and that is growing in the Lord. When you, for example, there's two danger areas that really can take place. One is that you begin to feel sorry for yourself. One of the worst things that a husband can do, for example, you say, what does this have to do about taking your wealthy place? You're going to see. One of the worst things that the husband can do is start feeling sorry for his wife when she's going through these things. Telling, oh, honey, I understand. You don't understand. And the other worst thing you can do is say, well, look, just go in the bedroom, cry all you want, lock yourself up a couple of days till you get right. That is not the way to do it. Or, like, what's wrong with you? Get a hold of yourself. Get right. I mean, no, that's not going to help either. Okay? So I'm saying these things to you. I was studying for our leadership class, and we're fixing to launch some leadership classes to develop leaders, because that's just areas that are lacking in the church, in the body of Christ. But Jesus said something, and I don't have time to go to it, but he said something that caught my attention. It's in Matthew chapter 16, but don't go there. But let me just tell you, it's where Peter got a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. Remember that story? He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter had the revelation, "You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God." And Peter was all, "Oh, wow," you know. And Jesus began to share about the passion that he had for mankind, and that he must go to the cross and pay the price and die for men's sin. And remember what Peter told him? He said, "I'll never deny you, Lord. I'll follow you to the ends of the earth," and so on and so forth. And then Peter kind of got a little brainstorm and said, "But Lord, you don't have to go through these things. You don't have to do that." And now listen to this. If you study that out and see what Peter was saying, in fact, some of your side margins will tell you, or if you study the Greek language on it, Peter was telling Jesus that he was to pity or to feel sorry for himself. And you know what the next words from Jesus was? Do you know what the next words from Jesus was? He told Peter, he rebuked him and told Satan to get behind him. In other words, Jesus knew the danger of somebody feeling sorry or pitying him, because if he would have allowed himself to be pitied, if he would have allowed his mind to say, "You know what? I deserve to be pitied. I deserve that somebody would feel sorry for all the things that I'm going to go through," he would have never went to the cross. And so here's my point to you, ladies and gentlemen, men, fathers, young and old, is never, ever, never, ever feel sorry for yourself. Say this with me. Say, "I love my pastor," because I don't feel the love right now. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to move you in to your wealthy place. Because you move into two of the most dangerous things as a Christian. Number one is that someone feels sorry for you or pities you. And number two is that you deserve those things. And I've had people say, "Well, Pastor, you don't understand. If you just understood what I was going, you would feel sorry for me too." Well, now you want to feel sorry for some people because of the situations or their circumstances. But I'm just telling you that it is a dangerous place for you to be in the area of your mind. We're talking about, we must connect in our mind in order to move into our wealthy place. And so if we don't handle these things, listen, if your wife is ugly to you guys and nasty all the time and yelling and all this, then by all means, take her and get her some professional help. I'm not against that. I'm not telling you don't do that. I'm telling you, I remember what Brother Hagin said. He said, "Listen, sometimes you have to allow people to take their medication and their medicine so that they can get right in their mind, because the key to get them free is that their mind has to be free so it can connect to their spirit." So now he was talking about, back when he preached in the 40s, he was talking about people went to insane asylums. They locked them up. They put them in straitjackets for just some of the things that they went through. Are you following what I'm saying? But you see, I'm talking to you, that you ladies can overcome things like change of life or midlife crisis, men, by and through the Word of God. You have to prepare yourself before you get into it. You have to prepare yourself that when those emotions and those feelings start trying to overwhelm you and influence you, that you overcome them through the Word of God. Amen. Because listen, I've had men tell me, "Listen, I'm feeling something different. I need to do something different. Something's missing in my life." I said, "What do you want to do?" "I feel like I need to dump my wife." Now, I want to tell them in all the love and all the niceness, I said, why do you want to dump your wife? Well, she's getting old. Well, go look in the mirror. Go look in the mirror, guy. You're getting old too. But isn't it funny how a man gets older, he either wants to go out and buy a red sports car or get a Harley or trade in his wife for a 20-something. Don't shout me down. I'm talking about the world now. Yeah, somebody say not us. I'm talking about that's how the world thinks. They want to trade in their wife because she's getting old. Well, look at yourself. You want to marry a 20-something and you're already 50-something? And then a few years down the road, she's going to look at you and say, why did I marry a grandpa? Let me out of this mess. Come on. I'm just talking how things can start infiltrating in your thought life if you don't know how to bring those thoughts under control using the Word of God. Now, go with me over to the book of James. Now, you know men, look, men don't have the same response and the same, you know, women, they will start crying. Well, men don't usually start crying. I mean, they don't just start, you know, getting hot and cold flashes. Are you with me? They just have ideas that I need to trade in my wife. You know, or I need to go buy a red car. I mean, it affects things different because the way the enemy begins to play around with people's minds. And if your mind, and this is what I'm trying to show you, if your mind is not being saved, then it allows you to get under control of it, and it will be an enemy against God. Now let's go to the scripture. Go to James chapter 1. If you want, for example, healing in your life, how many of you know how to receive healing for your life? Well, let me give you a little bit more here. Not only do you need to confess the healing scripture, but you need to begin thinking healing scripture. In other words, you have to start thinking healing. You can't just, you know, confess scripture and not think scripture. You have to begin to have, if you're just a type of person that lets your mind just run any direction it wants to go, as far as it wants to go, and never bridle your thinking, how many know it will run away from you? You'll start thinking all those thoughts, all those negative thoughts, all those bad thoughts. If fear doesn't come in, you'll start reacting to the way that you have been thinking. You'll start thinking how bad that your husband really is. Now listen, if you're a man, what should you be thinking? See, not just confessing, but you ought to be thinking Proverbs 31, wife. Amen. You have a good wife. You have a blessed wife. Blessed to her family. Blessed to her children. Are you here? If you're a lady, you ought to be thinking Ephesians chapter 5, husband. Hey, we just read that a while ago. Remember, you ought to be praising him, reverence him, respect him, giving him, you know, honor. Come on, esteeming him high. Did y'all forget that already? Okay. So I'm just telling you, you know, you've got to begin thinking these things because what you see through your eyes may show you something else. What you hear with your natural ear may tell you something else. So we have to go by, listen, what the Word of God says. In James chapter 1, it says, let me just begin to read here in verse 21. It says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to what? Save your soul. Now we don't talk exactly like that. It says, lay aside all filthiness. It means anything that is morally wrong. Isn't it amazing how men start going through midlife crises? They start getting on the internet. They start getting into pornography. They start doing and allowing other things to affect them. Y'all still love me? Okay, I'm helping you. I'm helping you move into your wealthy place this morning. Look, We don't talk like that, but that's what it's talking about. When it says an overflow of wickedness, it's talking about doing bad things, doing things that will get you in trouble. Okay? It says, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save, which is the Greek word sozo, which means to protect, it means to restore, it means to heal. We are in the process of restoring and repairing and protecting our soul, which is our mind, which is our thoughts, which is our emotions, which is our intellect. Are you with me? Your spirit loves God. You say, well, I love God. Yeah, you love God with your spirit, but what about your mind? Your mind has got to be renewed. Your mind doesn't care if it ever goes to church again. In fact, you could leave your mind at home and your body would stay with it. And if your mind and your body stay at home, how many know your spirit's going to stay home too? Because I people, well, I'm here in spirit, Lord. No, you're not. You take your spirit out of your body, you're going to fall deader than a doornail. You can't even cease to exist without the Spirit. Are you here? But you see, we come from backgrounds, or we come from religious type theology and thinking. We're not trained in this area where we've got to develop our spirit man. The most important part of you and the part that God communicates with. And we communicate with God. Well, he says, now look what he says. He says, be doers of the word. Not hearers only, or we'll deceive ourselves. So not only, I'm helping you here, not only do we need to confess the word, but we need to think the word. When we think the word and we confess the word, then we'll become a doer of the word. Okay? He tells us, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, what? He's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, for he who observes himself goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He forgets. If you don't continue to get your mind saved by the process that it takes through the Word of God, listen, your mind will revert. It will go backwards on you. He says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. And I think I've taught you about that word look. It is a very intense word. It is a word that means to take a long, steady, long look at. That's why I'm telling you, beloved, you cannot just come in here and hear a message on Sunday morning and expect that to make your spirit strong. You're going to have a daily intake of the Word of God, just like you daily intake food. How many of you know how you feel if you fast a meal? How many of you know how you feel if you miss a whole day without food? That is the way your spirit, you're slowly starving your spirit. And your spirit is the most important part of you, because that's the part that communicates with God. Okay, he said you've got to continue into this word and continue in it and not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. He said, and that one will be blessed in what he does. So it becomes very important that there's a process by which I take a daily intake, just like I take a daily intake of food and water and drink into my body. I must take a daily intake of the Word of God, because there's a process by which my mind is being saved. If I do not continue in that process, and this is the point I want to make to you, then my mind can go backwards on me. I will lose the ground that I have gained. It don't take much. Now, let's read on here because in fact, let's go over to the book of Romans, because I'll have to get into some more of this next time. But look over in Romans chapter 12. Just give me a couple more minutes here to get this through you. I'm trying to tell you is that when you get born again, you have the same old mind. That mind has to be renewed. There's a scripture in 2 Peter. Just have them put it up there. I think I need to share this with you. I won't have you go there. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. It talks about Lot. How many remember who Lot was? Lot was the nephew of Abraham. Now, Lot, it's important that you understand and know this. Lot chose to go his way, separate himself from Abraham, and he went into a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. You know that, right? I said, you know that, right? Okay. Now, he lived in one of the most hellacious, demonic, I mean, of that era, of that time. No influence whatsoever of God. But it's important to note that God called Lot righteous. Did you see that? Look what it says. Put that scripture up and leave it up there till I go to something else. And delivered. Look what he called him. He called him righteous Lot. Now, here's the point I want to make to you. Is that no matter if you have been born again, you may do some things in your life that are not righteous. But God still sees you and calls you righteous. God calls things that be not as though they were. Are you getting me? Okay. But look what it says. It says that not only did he call him righteous, but look what it says. It says, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man was dwelling among them. In other words, he was a light in a wicked and a perverse corner of the world. But notice what it says. It oppressed him. The word oppressed is the word to beat down by beating the same thing into them over and over and over. If you ever watch those fights, those new ones they have, the UFC or whatever, you ever, you know, that cage boxing, all that, you ever notice, it's not in the era I grew up with, Muhammad Ali and Frazier and all that. They get in there and they literally start kicking and beating the pulp out of somebody until they beat them down. Now, this is a picture of what the devil does to people that do not know how to get their mind renewed by the Word of God. He continues to beat on you and slam on you and hammer on you until you are beat down and you become oppressed because you didn't know how to combat your mind area of your being so that you could overcome the thoughts that is being injected into your mind and your thought life. Are you with me? Now look what it says. It says, not only was he oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, but it says he was tormented. Say tormented. His righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing. Did you put it in there? By seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. So this tells us something. What takes us down and what causes our mind to go backwards on us is through things that we see and the things that we hear. Now, it's important that you get this because if you're constantly seeing the wrong things and you're hearing the wrong things, you are taking your mind in a reverse direction, or you're taking your mind from being saved or renewed to another direction opposite from God. Amen. Now, I'll show you these things in the Scripture, but let me just give you a Jesus lesson just a minute. Didn't Jesus say that if a man looked upon a woman with lust in his heart, or to lust after that woman, he had already committed adultery in his heart? Did not Jesus say that? So he got right to the issue, didn't it? The man was not in the act yet, but he was already thinking it in his mind. He did not know how to control his thoughts. Now, when the Apostle Paul, where did I tell you to go? Romans 12? Go to Romans 8. You still love me? Okay. You give me a couple more minutes? Okay. Now, I say this to you because we live in a world that is constantly getting us to look at stuff and getting us to look at wrong stuff. I don't care if all you do, guys, is watch ESPN and NFL Network. They've got commercials on there and things to get you to look at the wrong things. It's all about what we see and what we hear is going to determine what direction our thought life goes in. Now, when Paul wrote what I'm fixing to read you, listen, He lived in a day. You know, pornography and all X-rated movies and scenes. Do you know it didn't start in the 20th century? In Paul's day, listen, you could go and you could go to a theater and you could see a cultural good play. Or you could go to a theater on the other side of the street and see an X-rated where they completely were stripped naked and had orgies and everything. You could go to that kind of play if that's what you chose to do. You could go into a temple and they would have a restaurant in front of the temple that served food that they had just sacrificed to idols. And you get a discount on the sacrifice. Are you here? And you could go in the same temple where they worship sex goddess, and they would have rooms where they could lay with the opposite sex or even the same sex and have those kind of relationships. Sounds like Las Vegas, doesn't it? But that was before Las Vegas. I'm just saying, if that's what you chose to do, you could have done it. You can live a G-rated life in an X-rated world, or you can live X-rated in X-rated world. You make a choice, because Jesus said, if you look with that lust, he said, you have already committed adultery, didn't he? He said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. He said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Now listen to me. Did Jesus literally mean for us to cut our hand off and pluck our eye? Would Jesus, if I told my, look, I saw something today, come on, I shouldn't have looked at it. She said, just a minute, let me go get the pliers. Or let me get the hacksaw, my hand offended me, you know. No, he was talking about cutting off. Say cutting off. The things that you see and the things you hear. Because those will take your mind in a retro or a reverse direction. You will lose ground if you allow your mind to remain or stay unbridled. If you don't control those thoughts will develop into more ungodly thoughts. Now let's read with that in mind. It says, for these, look at verse 8. Chapter 8, verse 5, it says, for these who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, he's telling us why we need to renew our mind. Now, next week we'll talk about how to renew our mind. Or next time we get together, we'll talk about how we renew our mind. But right now, we need to see why is it important. It says, in verse 6, it says, to be carnally minded is death. Now, that doesn't mean you die physically. What it literally means is that you begin to take away from your own self, your spiritual self, and a little piece of you begins to die every day. If you continue to look at the wrong things, if you continue to hear the wrong things, if you continue to watch the wrong things, little by little, you're dying on the inside. Does that make sense to anybody? That's what he's saying. To be carnally minded is death, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, he says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life, zoe, the God kind of life, the God kind of living, and peace. Peace is talking about that prosperity of your soul, that your soul is progressing. Isn't that the way it should be as a Christian? You get born again, you don't know anything. I don't care how many days or hours or years you were in church. Until you get born again, you can't know anything. But there's a process by which you begin to bring your mind along. It's called renewing your mind. That's what he tells us here. So he's saying this, listen, that a carnal, look at verse 7. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The Greek says a carnal mind, here's what it literally says, it hates God. Now I know most of you say, well, I don't hate God. Well, your spirit doesn't hate God, but your mind has to be renewed in order to love God. Remember what I told you, your mind wouldn't care if you sat at home today. Your mind would not care if you left this place and went to, you know, the cantina this afternoon and celebrated Father's Day by getting drunk. He said, a carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law, nor indeed can it be. Then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, what does that mean? Because, see, we don't have a proper understanding of spirit, soul, and body. It's talking literally about the thoughts that you have. If you don't learn to bridle and you don't learn to develop right thinking, then you know what's going to happen? You're going to go backward in your mind, in your soul, and you're going to allow things to take you in a reverse direction. You will not know how to overcome those thoughts. And let me just finish with a scripture in Romans chapter 12 right quick. Just turn a few pages over to Romans chapter 12. We'll have to close and we'll pick up on this. But I want you to at least write down the scripture, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, where he talks about my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. Remember that scripture? And he said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. Now listen to me. That was old covenant, right? But you and I have been born again. Our spirit man has been born again. They didn't have the Holy Spirit, and they didn't have the Word like you and I have. So now, listen, now it is possible for us to think like God. Because you could be in an impossible situation this morning. Anybody ever felt like you were in an impossible situation? But what does the Word tell us? Nothing is impossible with God. So if I start thinking what God said, and I couple that together with my confession, then my mind becomes renewed where I can start acting what the Word said. I have what it says I can have because God wants me to be successful. Listen, God wants you to be successful in your walk with God. Doesn't He want you to grow? You think it's God's desire that you get born again and you just stay stunted and retarded? That's where most people are at. They think, if I just come to church every once in a while, let me just kind of close it down with this. Listen, the renewing of your mind will be the biggest challenge, and you ought to write this down, will be the biggest challenge that you have as a Christian. I need to say it again. The renewing of your mind will be the biggest challenge that you have as a Christian. Say, Pastor, I thought it was the devil. The devil was defeated. Jesus gave you authority and power over the devil. Yeah, but why is he after him? Because your mind has not been renewed to the Word of God. You think the devil is going to stop getting after you because you became a Christian? Huh? Do you think that all of a sudden you're just going to have right thoughts? When we started going together, Dave, she was 20, I was 21. And we got married, a year or so later? 22 and 21. Well, how many know we've changed a lot in 30-something years? She don't look the same. Neither do I. And yeah, we do. It's gotten better. But see, what you don't understand, the first 5 or 6 years of our marriage, you say, did you have problems? Yeah, we had problems. Did you ever want to split and run? Yeah. She did, I did. But thank God, after almost 30 years of serving God, thank God, our minds have gotten renewed a little bit. And see, when you have a thought, man, well, I don't like the way my wife looks, well, then pay for her to look younger. Don't dump her and go out and get another one. If you don't like the way she looks, hey, they got a lot of help out there. Now, I remember what Brother Hagin said. He said, look, if the women are kind of like barns, if it needs painting, paint it. Right? If you're not willing to spend the money to help her look younger, then you're going to have to accept her the way she is. She's going to accept you the way you are, you tight thing. You won't spend anything to make yourself look younger. You just think that you could trade them in. I'm just telling you. Well, you see, We didn't know what we were. I look at some of these guys, you know, I was 22, 21. Are you here? I didn't know an apple from an Adam's apple. We didn't know anything. But the grace and the mercy of God. God got a hold of us. And I've been, you know, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord. And he goes on and talks about the renewing of your mind. We'll talk about it next time. But listen, when we got saved, I didn't know everything. I still don't know everything. I'm in the process of renewing my mind. Amen. I'm in the process that when a thought comes, I know how now to rebuke and take authority over that thought, because if I don't, it will take control of me. You know why? Because my body is going to do what my mind tells it. Not my spirit. So I have to make sure that my spirit is in control of me and not my mind. Now that's where so many people miss it. You're allowing things, and I'm closing, but you're allowing things by what you see and by what you hear to take control of your thought life. If you're having trouble, guys, with pornography, you know where the source is. You say, but I have to have my iPhone. No, you don't. I have to have my internet. No, you don't. Yeah, but they got so many channels on that. Cut them off. Cut off whatever offends you. I know you don't like that kind of stuff, but you need to get a hold of this. You've got to cut it off. Because men are not going to tell you they got a problem for the most part. And there's some good books out there. In fact, one of them, you might want to write it down and get it if you want it. It's called Every Man's Problem. Every Man's Battle. You can go on the internet and Google it. But it's from a Christian source, talking about people, men specifically, that are trapped in pornography and looking at things they shouldn't look at. And here's good for the ladies, because it's a section there for the ladies to see and understand why the men do that. And the section for the men shows how bad you hurt your wife when you do those things. Sometimes we're in wrong relationships. You that are not married yet, relationships can take you away from God. All I'm trying to tell you, if after 30 years of serving God, I could let my mind take a break, I could not bridle my thoughts, and I would begin to go backwards. Stand up with me. So Paul gave us a revelation. How many of you caught the revelation? What was the revelation? The revelation is that man is three parts. Come on, say spirit. Say, I am a spirit. I have and possess a mind, which is my intellect, it's my emotion, it is my thoughts. Okay? But what else? I live in this body. Now we have to see what Paul said. He said, if I'm going to be carnally minded, it's because I allow my thoughts to remain unbridled. I don't recognize that what I see and what I hear will feed my thoughts and produce even worse thoughts, that if they go unbridled, will produce evil, bad, wrong works. Did you catch that? And so he tells us, okay, that's why we don't want to be carnally minded. Romans 12 tells us how to begin the process. How do you begin the process? He says, by renewing your mind. By renewing your mind. What are you going to renew it with? Same trash, because garbage in equals garbage out. Okay? If you can't learn to look away, if you can't learn to cut it off, you need some help. Now, God can help you. Ladies, God can help you. The Word could cause you to overcome any physiological, any mental, or any of the plans that the devil has. Never feel sorry for yourself. Never think you deserve pity. It's a dangerous place. It's a place where you'll give your mind opportunity to run its course. So in the name of Jesus.